design and development of personal learning environment. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the thunders. I only have 25 minutes, which is like 8 days less than I need. This is design and development of a personal learning environment. It actually slots in as presentation 2 of 4 that I'm doing in a couple of weeks span. The next two are at OTESA, and they will be on Wednesday if you're still kicking around town. And they cover the idea of the alternative approach to online learning that I and other colleagues have been developing over the years. This is not a presentation on AI, you can thank me later, although it does have AI elements in it. And it does, and as the other presentations show, speak to how we might want to think about approaching AI in learning. But as they say, begin with the demo. So here's the demo. So this is a thing that I built. It's not showing it, is it? Why not? Because this is still hogging the screen. How's that? Yeah, okay. All right, this is the thing that I built. It's a personal learning environment. I'm actually pretty pleased to have done this because there hasn't actually been, despite an awful lot of talk in our field, a real live personal learning environment built that people can use. But now there is one. It's not perfect. I wrote it, so it will have problems and mistakes. It's a proof of concept, nothing more. And the idea is to use this as a basis for thinking about how we can think differently about how we do learning online. So I'm going to log in. I don't have to log in, but I need a place to access my accounts, which we'll see in a bit. I could just type them all in by hand, but that would get tiring very quickly. I could also save them on a key that I could just load into my computer, but I haven't written that software yet. So the main thing is I have to have access to my account. So I'm logging in not because I'm signing into a platform or something like this. This belongs to me. I'm signing in because I need access to my data. And I protect my data from the rest of the world, hence the need for a sign-in. So you can see on the left-hand side, and it does show on both screens, that's excellent, a bunch of buttons. Each button corresponds to a different account. I'll select Downs. That connects to my Mastodon account on mastodon.social, and I can read the posts that I'm following, and there's my Mastodon posts. It's all the people that I'm following on Mastodon. Now, what you don't see, because it's behind the scenes, is that the people who I follow that write in Slovakian, I actually do follow people who write in Slovakian, their content has been automatically translated for me. Just happens behind the scenes, I don't even worry about it. Actually, let me be honest, I do worry about it because I used my Google Cloud account to do a translation, and if you don't keep an eye on it, those costs can add up. And I accidentally spent about $300 in November testing my system. So what I really need is an on-off button. I've also been thinking about ways of optimizing the translation so it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg. Part of the future of AI is we'll have to pay for it. Okay, well, you think, oh, well, big deal. I've got my home feed. I could use Mastodon for that. That's true. Now, I've got the usual Mastodon functions. I can reply. I can boost. I can star it. I can bookmark it. One of the nice things about the bookmarks is I can see my bookmarks here as well. There they are. But as well, now that I have this, I can feed it over. There's a little arrow button here. It's kind of hard to see. And now it's in my editing window. So it's not beautiful, the editing window. This is just a plain text window. But as you can see, it's taken the content of the post that I'm commenting on and put it into the editing window, and now I can comment on it. So here's a comment. Comment on this. You also note at the bottom it's keeping track of the reference information for that. Now, okay, that's great. Let's go over to Blue Sky now. I also have an account on Blue Sky. It's going to take a second, maybe. Oh, I think it's here already. Timeline. These are posts on Blue Sky. Again, reading them in the same environment, same format. The icons are a bit different under the post because Blue Sky has different functions than Mastodon. But I can still do the same thing here. I can now add the Blue Sky post in here. And so now I'm able to take the two posts, one from Mastodon, one from Blue Sky, put them into the same environment, now work in this environment. And then once I'm done working in this, now I can post it, and I can post it either back to my original Mastodon post, or I can publish it as a blog post on Half an Hour, which is my blogger website. Now I just select it. I can select one or more. I click publish. It's going to do its thing. Ah, you stupid thing. Well, that's Google for you. Let's publish it on my other blog. And that should have published. Let's take a look. Told you there would be bugs and issues. There it is. There's the content. I actually published it twice because I don't have a duplicate check. So I've taken my content, published it, or edited from multiple sources, edited it together, and published it onto my blog. Now, I could also publish back to social media. In theory, although this isn't working yet, if I select both Mastodon, which is a short form, and Blogger, which is a long form, then it'll put the long version in Blogger and put a link to the long version in Mastodon so that people can see it in Mastodon and then go to where I spent 500 words or 1,000 words or whatever. A few more features to talk about. So here I am. Let's see, let's go back to Blue Sky and let's close this off. Give myself a bit of room to work. All right. So let's find, here we have a thread. So here's a thread. Well, it's a very short thread. That's not a very good thread. Let's try that again. Because that won't do as an example at all. Here's a thread of things that people actually said something in. And I click this button. This one doesn't cost me money, happily. But it takes a little bit of time. But what's going to pop up there it is, the AI-generated summary of the thread. And then I can take that if I wish. And, whoops. Let's control this and that. Let's put it at the bottom so we can keep track of it. There we go. Okay, and so we see the automated summary. Again, I'm not just taking some AI stuff and publishing it, right? I'm taking some AI stuff and using it to get stuff into my editing window that I can then work with in some way and then publish it out there on the social network. A few more things. So yes, we don't care. I can load the editor, various types of editor. For example, I can load from the file system. So I can load any document locally. I can also save any document locally. So I've got read-write on my local computer. I can also load a template, or more, let's generate a new template. It's not going to generate a new template. Okay, when that's working, what that does is it uses, it gives me a selection of templates to use, and I bet you it's blocking pop-ups or something. And then I select from the template, and it uses the AI to build a template of whatever it is I wanted. So I have a selection like business letter, case study, report, etc. And I get that template. Obviously, that's a very simple example. I could use any number of templates that I want. Also, and this may or may not work, because load seems to be having issues today. Let's try reloading it and see if that cleans it up. Okay, load. Yes. Oh, Etherpad. Here we go. Okay, so I'm connected to an Etherpad server. Etherpad, you may know, is a collaborative editing tool where multiple people can edit together in the same environment. So I've got some existing documents already. They're not the most imaginative of documents in the world. This one was dynamically added via the API. But the idea here is now I can share with other people the editing of this document. I can still use these functions. I'll use my Mastodon co-social account this time. And we can load content into the Etherpad. And so now I'm taking content that I loaded, putting it in the Etherpad, and now I can work with it. The chat. There's also a chat. Now, I'm the only person using the system right now. If there were other people logged on and using this, we could have a chat. If we were chatting together, or if we were both in the chat and I wanted to share my Etherpad with them, I would click on the share button. It would send a button to them to click on so that they can open the Etherpad in their personal learning environment and then edit. That's the gist. I've taken 12 of my 25 minutes for the demo. But I want you to think about the sorts of possibilities here. For one thing, all of those accounts are, they're my accounts, they're my personal accounts. I can get them from anywhere. I haven't listed all the different types of accounts that I can access, but I can use search, I can use the Etherpads, of course, Mastodon, etc., etc. Pretty much any service that provides content, and I'm including an LMS in here, although I haven't actually hooked it up to one yet. It's in the works, right? Get the content from that, feed it into my reading area, and then perhaps even select some content and feed the selected content into the writing area. The writing area, I've got a simple text editor, I've got a collaborative text editor, I have templates that aren't working, automatically generated templates that aren't working for no particular reason. Now I'm wondering if this will work in Etherpad. Generate new template. Oh, here we go. Business letter, case study. Oh, choose the output format. There we go. That's what happened. So I accidentally chose text. So it's going to generate my case study in a text editing form. We were talking about, H5P? H5P would work brilliantly in that editing window, all right? You just load your H5P template into it, then feed in from the stuff that you're reading. Again, it just makes it easier to work with. The key thing, and what's important here is the AI isn't doing the work. You're doing the work. I'll choose an editor. Well, we'll choose a text editor. Here's my case study. This is fresh, generated by AI. any AI prompt that you can think of can create the basis for something that I'm working on. All right, I'm gonna stop with the demo there because I only have, 10 minutes? All right, so what on earth am I up to then? So I made some promises in the abstract, which I'll literally wave my hand at. All right, what even is a personal learning environment? Because maybe you weren't around 20 years ago when people first started talking about them, or 10 years ago when people were actually doing projects on them and failing. I include myself in that group. The idea of a personal learning environment is that it's an environment for you to learn in, not an environment hosted by some educational institution, but an environment owned completely and hosted by you, or by a host that you trust. You can put it wherever you want. The way I've designed this, it's in pure JavaScript, which means that it can go anywhere. In theory, you can run it off your own computer. You could certainly run it off of any web service provider that you wanted. I could have run it off of her computer, no problem. Just go to it, and it would work. So you're not locked into a specific platform. The idea of a PLE is you choose the resources, maybe with some help, you're not on your own. You organize content for yourself, pick what you're interested in, and you can work with other people collaboratively through any system that allows you to collaborate, to work together to create any type of content. I showed you text-based content, but clearly we're not limited to that, right? There are collaborative visual editor screens, etc. So here's some of the famous diagrams. The one on the right, it's not really showing it, is it? Slideshow from this slide. No, I don't want. I really hate when.
Down to the bottom, it's like the slider.
Yeah. I have no problem with PowerPoint. I have a problem with Microsoft's constant prompts for me to try AI.
I was just trying to help, Steven.
Yeah, it's just trying to help. See, and that's the difference between a PLE and an LMS. An LMS is always just trying to help. But PLE, I'll pick when I want help, thank you. Okay, there you go. I'm pretty sure that's the first time that's ever been said. So here's the famous Scott Wilson diagram of a personal learning environment. The personal learning environment is at the center. That's the thing that I built. And then there are various services that it connects to. Services that read, services that process data for you, services that allow you to get together with other people and do stuff, services that allow you to publish and write. Why a PLE? Because it changes the dynamics of learning from a focus on the content, from a focus on the educational provider, to a focus on the learner and what it is that the learner is trying to do. Typically, any given user of a PLE will have their own projects, their own interests in mind. And the PLE allows them to draw from those resources and those services that exactly match the needs that they have to accomplish those purposes. So it's purpose-driven, individual-driven, and individually owned. So, this is some of my brilliant presenting work from, I don't have a date on it, but, and then a reference to some unknown D. Cormier. I don't recognize him. I'm sure I knew him at one point. So here's the LMS. The LMS and the institution is at the center. Everything's around the institution. And of course, the students are all supplicants. I mean, they're all connected to the LMS. What's really significant, and we've seen this over and over, is the I don't know if this is the word, silofication, right, of learning because of the LMS. There's one LMS here for one institution. There's another one here for another institution. Never the twain shall meet. If you're on the Western University LMS, you don't get to go and have a conversation with the McGill students on their LMS. Personal learning environment, though, doesn't matter. You're here, you can connect to McGill, Western, Face, Google Docs, iBook, whatever. Services were different back then. What's new, what's changed between now and say 2010 is the social media landscape, where the social media landscape has finally begun to kick the habit of large centralized platforms like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, and is beginning to evolve toward federated services, where there's not one centralized platform, but multiple interconnected platforms. If you're not clear on that concept, I have a talk coming up at OTESA, something like Federated Learning in the Blogosphere or something, where I explain all of that about federated learning. Otherwise, I have to bracket that because I have 3 minutes left. So, yeah. So, I've been working on this concept for 20 years. What a thing to spend a life on. There's all kinds of business issues with the PLE that really makes it hard to get off the ground. And the same issues face the Fediverse generally. Institutions aren't interested in licensing personal software that you can use anywhere. And if they're not interested in licensing it, they're not interested in paying for it. There's no incentive for institutions to let people hop to other institutions. I remember trying to launch a project in the early days of RSS, getting all of the engineering schools in Alberta together to provide resources by RSS for the Association of Petroleum Engineers and Geologists of Alberta. Were they interested? No, they didn't want to share their content. Same logic still exists today, which is so silly if you ask me. A lot of the time, access controls and restrictions are enforced by content providers. Not as bad now as it used to be. It used to be horrible. Now it's just bad. Institutions love to control the learning environment. I don't have the diagram there, pretend the diagram is there. I would add XAPI to this so that you can at least track learning activities and then feed that back to the institution. You don't have to be in the institution space. And of course, strong adherence to traditional pedagogical models. This learning environment isn't a show and tell kind of system, right? It's a learner goes out and does stuff kind of system. Now, somebody talking about MOOCs earlier this morning talked about, you know, well, the average person who succeeds at MOOC is a well-educated white professional. Quite true, because they're the ones who have managed to get the skills to be, you know, independent, self-motivating learners, and those are the people who learn best on MOOCs. But that's an insight. That's not an indictment of MOOCs. That's an indictment of society. Right. Why is only that demographic able to master those skills? That's stupid. Sorry, I didn't say that, but you know what I mean. So also different attempts to do personal learning environments are difficult because the concept is difficult. If it's not something that you're used to, if it's not something that you've had practice with in the past, I talk about email sometimes in this context, and people adapted to that. It's not a simple thing, email. It's actually pretty complex, especially behind the scenes. But people learned. People learn. Yeah, you choose your email provider. Yeah, you run your own email. You are the one responsible for sending emails. And if you want to receive emails, they don't come to you by magic, except spam. You have to, in some way, initiate them. Right, more challenges. So difficult as well, having a single user website, there's no real model for that beyond blogs, and blogs all shifted to platforms like LMSs and like social media. The cloud 10, 20 years ago really wasn't useful. This makes use of the cloud, a fair bit. That first, not the MOOC that, well, we did too, but the Korvig and Strum, the first artificial intelligent MOOC, used the cloud quite a bit. They also used automated grading. Platform lockdown. You may have noticed I haven't connected Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn in my personal learning environment. You wonder why? Well, it's because they won't let me. They won't let me get content from their services and link it to my own personal learning environment. You must go to them, view their newsfeed, read their advertising if you want to use their service. And then everything involved is complex to put together. Overall, this is the flow. Aggregate, remix, repurpose, feed forward. Those of you who are familiar with my history know that this is the basic model that we use to develop MOOCs. This was the learning process. Now this is the tool that people can use to support them in that learning process. Simple PLE, complex PLE, that's what exists today. And that's what could exist in the future. And that's the slide with my name and my website on it, http://www.downes.ca. And if you click presentations, you'll find this presentation and a bunch of other stuff, including the other three talks that I reference. Sorry I'm 2 minutes late, but I think I did okay. Thank you. And unlike Otessa, you spelled my name correctly.
It's important.